there was a brief period of time, a couple of years in the 1990s, where we had cameras in the New York State courtrooms. Most people thought it was a fantastic success, and it helped legitimize the system. The Amadou, most famously, the Amadou Diallo trial, for those who remember, was televised live. Everybody could see what happened. The powers that be decided that should not be renewed, except for pretrial performances, as it were. So we're not going to see the trial.
Can someone convicted of a felony become president?
Absolutely. There's no bar to becoming president of the United States if you're convicted of a felon. However, you cannot own a firearm. So at least if he gets elected, he won't be able to have a gun. He'll have the United States military, but not a gun.
And you have to be born in the United States.
Yes.
I want to thank you very much for being with us. Ron Kuby, longtime criminal defense and civil rights lawyer here in New York. That does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our digital fellowship. You can learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Sharif Abdelkaddous, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Taracena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nandura, Sam Alkoff, Tay Maria Studio, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Hannah Elias. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randall, Paul Powell, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, Dennis McCormick, Matt Ely. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Greg McVicar, creator of Undercurrents, and this is KBOO 90.7 Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Saddle up and ride with country music in your head from 6 till 9 every Saturday morning on KBOO Swingin' Country. You can count on Swingin' Country's stable of rotating hosts to fill your early morning with country, alternative country, western, western swing, and even some rockabilly, bluegrass, and Americana tunes. Swingin' Country on KBOO is mighty fine, Saturday morning, 6 to 9.
This is Cesar Chavez. You're listening to KBOO, listener-sponsored radio.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members in the Portland Housing Bureau, announcing the opening of the North Northeast Homeownership Preference Policy Waitlist, helping longtime and displaced residents to purchase a home in their community. The application deadline is April 19th. Information for the Homeownership Preference Policy Waitlist at portland.gov/PHB.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO FM. Today is Monday, the 15th of April. It is approximately 8:02 a.m. And I am Cecil Prescott, and I welcome you. Thank you so much for turning in and tuning in to the radio station this morning. I hope all had a good weekend. that things went well. And as you begin this new, for many, work week, that it will be one in which everything that you need to do is done, that all that is necessary is completed, and that sometimes you are able to stop and notice the world around you. There is so much to be aware of and to be grateful. So, just a reminder, today is the 15th of April, and, you know, we all know tax day and all of that, but I wanted to just spend a little time of reflection. Remember those days not so long ago when April 15th came, and then it was almost, I don't want to say a party atmosphere, but as you are finishing your taxes, and in those days when we had to put everything, send it through the U.S. Post Office, and there was often a line, it could have been like a party line of people standing, waiting to get their taxes filed and to make sure that they are posted before the midnight deadline. Oh, what a time that was, standing out in front of the post office. Not so much these days, but as the midnight hour approaches and as you sit in front of your keyboard, remember, it's not as bad as it could be. Think about that. Those of you who are rushing to get your taxes completed, well, that's something that we all are called to do. So, happy tax day, everybody, and hopefully we will create a system where a tax system is more fair and equitable. Well, a few other things are happening this week that I'm sure that you are aware of. First, today is not only tax day, but the ex-president has his day in court. One of many. The first president to be criminally indicted in U.S. history. And for those of you who are listening, the first president, you mean not even going back to Richard Nixon? No, he wasn't indicted. Not even Ronald Reagan and all that trouble with assassination and things that happened in Central America in the 80s, Contra, no, not even Ronald Reagan. Not even, you know, Bill Clinton. No, the first president to be criminally indicted, is Donald J. Trump. What a day for all of us. But those are just some things that are happening today and this week. But you know, there's also something else that's happening this week. And that is, it is the Stoner's Holiday. 420 is happening. And I don't know if any of you celebrate that that holiday. But I did come across an article that I wanted to read with you. It's from Rania Lee, who on LinkedIn, a year ago she wrote, "Is the public perception of 420 changing?" And she writes, and she wrote this a year ago, 420 is tomorrow. Well, actually, it's 5 days from now, but she writes, "Some customers look forward to the socialization, parties, and deals 420 brings, while some just look forward to getting really high alone in the crib. Regardless of how it's celebrated, 420 is the biggest unofficial holiday in the world of cannabis. But I noticed something this year. a lot of silence, more silence than usual regarding 420. So I started thinking, why haven't I heard much about it this year? Why isn't 420 buzzing like it used to? Could public perception about 420 be changing? Could public perception around cannabis consumption be changing in general? Are consumers becoming uncomfortable with celebrating the unofficial holidays that over 40,000 plus black and brown incarcerated people can't celebrate? For a lot of consumers, 420 is seen as a celebration, but for others, 420 is a painful reminder of the injustices regarding the cannabis industry, prohibition, and the war on drugs. Now, one thing that always gets me on 420 is the support the cannabis industry gets from one particular ice cream giant. And we're not just talking about any old ice cream giant. We're talking about the infamous Ben and Jerry's. Now, how random is that? Well, random to me that Ben and Jerry partners with ACLU to speak about cannabis reform. Wow. And the crazy thing is people actually engage with the campaign through Instagram shares and story reposts every year. She continues, Drania Lee, on her post. She writes, as a brand, I fully respect them because corporately, showing you your stance on such an important hot topic like cannabis isn't easy, and they've been using their platform for years to use 420 as an opportunity to spread information about cannabis, injustice, and prison reform. To be honest, they do better than most cannabis brands, but I digress. I'll be excited to see if they'll post tomorrow, and if they do, how they will show up. She continues on talking about other marketers and how they are becoming a part, raising their voices around this campaign. So she concludes, so what does public perception have to do with the perception of 420? In my opinion, if public perceptions of the plant itself changes and education increases, then stigma and propaganda connected to the plant and the idea of the plant are analyzed. The public must begin to lose interest in celebrating a holiday that makes them question their ethics or morals on why they're celebrating it, as long as there are individuals criminalized and detained for it. Consumers don't like to feel guilty about purchases or indulgences. So on that note, as more advertisement and messaging for 420 are centered around prison reform instead of celebration, I'll be interested to see how it would have an overall effect on the overall stigma of the celebration of 420. Because of when you think about it, until everyone is free to consume cannabis, what are we really celebrating? So writes Drania Lee about the public perception of 420. This is More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil Prescott. And if you would like to call and be a participant and share your thoughts, give us a call here at 503-231-8187. So I read a little bit about cannabis and how public perception of cannabis has changed. And what does that mean particularly for us and what it means for the industry? How our culture has changed, especially since legalization in many parts of the United States or decriminalization. We also mentioned that today is tax day, and well, I don't want to blend together tax day and 420, but I don't know, maybe. And also the ex-president has his day in court. Those are some things that are happening in our region today. But as you are either putting down, finishing your taxes, or listening to the criminal case in New York of the former president, give us a call and think of what you are thinking, either on taxes or on 420. Has our culture changed, especially since the legalization of marijuana in many places of the United States? Is it a day to celebrate when so many people, so many communities continue to suffer the consequences of being poor and people of color and remaining in prison while so many people are free? And who benefits from the legalization of the industry? For many parts of the country, it's no longer underground. But who profits from it? Things we ought to think about. And as you are thinking about those thoughts, I also want to ask you to assist me to think about elections. Those of us who are in Oregon will have a primary election on May 21st. Where Oregonians will be able to cast their votes by party for a presidential nominee of the head ahead of the November general election. Among those things that will be decided are congressional districts, the Secretary of State, State Treasurer, Attorney General, State Senate, State Supreme Court, and local races of interest like the county district attorneys will also be on the ballot. Now, those of you who are in Portland, let's be clear that things are changing, but the Portland mayor and city council races will not be on the May primary ballot due to the charter transition and the revisions. The mayor and the city council election will take place in November using ranked choice voting. So for now, the spring election on May 21st will be one in which citizens can vote for a number of important races, including Attorney General, District Attorney General, and County Commissioners. The deadline to register to vote or to change party affiliation is April 30th. That is coming up in a little bit over 2 weeks. Now, Oregon has a closed primary system, so for voters who are Democrats can vote in the Democratic primary. Voters who are registered as Republicans must can vote in Republican primaries, and ballots will be mailed out to the primary elections starting May 1st. But if you want to register or change your party affiliation to vote in a particular party primary, that deadline is April 30th. The Multnomah the voter pamphlets, and I assume other county voter pamphlets, are online. You can go online and see that and read about the candidates and about those things you will be voting on. And there are numerous organizations throughout the county, throughout the state, who will offer voter candidates forum where you are able to hear about those various elections. I suggest one of those, or the Urban League of Portland has a series of voter candidates forum in the this week and coming weeks, which will help you to decide how to vote. Those of you who are also interested, there will be congressional elections. And one of the congressional seats is the 3rd congressional seat in Oregon, where longtime congressional representative Earl Blumenauer is retiring. And there are 9 candidates who are running in the Democratic primary for that seat. A lot of the media attention for the 3rd congressional district has focused on 3 candidates in particular, but there are 9 who are running. But 3 candidates that are leading in terms of media attention, publicity, and fundraising and endorsements are Susela Jayapal, who's the former Multnomah County Commissioner, Maxine Dexter, who's a House of Representatives, is a representative in the Oregon House of Representatives, and Eddie Morales, who is a city council person in Gresham. So those are some of the leading candidates. And so those are things are boiling up and people are concerned about. And so there are many things that are concerned. So I would be interested, if you are interested in talking this morning, about 1, taxes. Have you completed them? Do you remember those days? Did you stand in line to mail your taxes? Do you miss them? 2, 420, how has our culture changed, especially since the legalization of marijuana in many places in the United States? 420, is it less of a hippy-dippy day? And as I read a post, when there are so many thousands of people who remain incarcerated, especially black and brown people, and there are so many people in our nation who continue to suffer, is 420 a day of celebration, or is it kind of be a day of activism? And what would a day in America be like if we did not talk about the former president and maybe future president Donald J. Trump, who is the first president to have been criminally indicted? What are your thoughts on these? Give us a call and share. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let us know about your thoughts about these issues and whether or not you have decided on candidates to vote for, and what are some of the issues that you are concerned about. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our first caller, Paul. Good morning, Paul. Good morning. Paul, are you there? We have a little problem. We'll try to work that out and get Paul back with us.
Paul, are you here?
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Paul, give us a call back. We will take your phone call. Even if you're not Paul, give us a call. Others, 503-231-8187. So, have you decided about how to vote in this election, and are you registered? The last day of registration in Oregon is April 30th. Elections are May 21st. Those are things that you should be concerned about and things you should vote about. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187, and we will talk to you right away. We're juggling calls right now, and in a moment we'll go to our first caller, and we'll go to our first caller, John. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. You talked about a person running for office in Gresham. Who are you talking about? I just got the tail end of it.
Oh, I was talking about the running for the 3rd Congressional District for Earl Blumenauer, and one of the candidates is, his name is Eddie Morales, and I think he's a city council person in Gresham. I can check that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah, he's been around politics in Gresham for quite a while, but you know, that Donald Trump, that's you asked to talk about that. Now, 34 felonies, that's a lot. Michael Cohen's attorney last night was talking about how they would put Trump in upon conviction and house arrest instead of putting him in prison. So if it's house arrest, do they have to stay in the house?
Well, I suppose he would, yeah, have to stay in the house with an ankle bracelet.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. Okay, have a good show, Cecil.
Hey, thank you so much. And yeah, I'm not sure whether or not his wife would want him around all that time if he was in house arrest. But give us your call, and let's see if we can talk to Paul. Paul has called again. Good morning, Paul. Thank you.
Good morning, Cecil.
How are you
Long
today?
Long time no hear.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm good. So, Multnomah County Commissioner Shashir Jayapal, I don't know how many people have been paying attention on this race for the 3rd Congressional District, but Shashir Jayapal is the one that, if you do your research, she closest aligns to most of the KBOO members. And I just want to get that out there, because a lot of times these down-ballot races, people don't pay a lot of attention. And the other thing is that there is a non-committed effort going on in Oregon for the May primary. So like Cecil said, you have to be registered by April 30th as a Democrat to vote in that Democratic primary. And if you want to vote non-committed, you fill in the circle by the write-in, and then you write in non-committed. And I don't pay taxes anymore because I'm on Social Security and I'm, like, below taxes. But a lot of people there withholding $33 or $330 from their taxes for the 33,000 people that were killed in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose yes. to do that, do not write anything on the tax form. That's a $5,000 fine.
Fine, yes.
But you can put in a letter separate. Do not attach it. If you staple it to your form, that's a $5,000 fine. But you can put in a letter and say, I'm redirecting $330 or $33 or $10.40 of my taxes because I don't want to go supporting the genocide in Palestine.
Yes.
But you have to do a paper form. You have to write it in and send it in paper. And you can't get down at midnight anymore. You have to go and get it into your local neighborhood post office by 5 o'clock tonight to put in a paper form. And thank you very much, Cecil. I always appreciate your support.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, and for those suggestions. And those are very, very great. Thank you so much for calling. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and the numbers here are 503-231-8187. Our last caller, Paul, was sharing some of his thoughts and reflections. He made note of of a long-standing tradition of tax resistance and how you might be either a tax resistor or how you might use this time to make a protest, to make a stand, either by how you pay your taxes or not pay your taxes, or whether you are a war tax resistor or not. And also, he spoke about the elections and how the third congressional districts and how we should pay attention to the candidates and who's running and how they can who we should vote for. What are your thoughts on these and other issues? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Tax Day, April 15th, 420. So that is coming up on Saturday or Friday, I think so. And also the primaries that are coming up. One other point that I believe Paul May made was in terms of what you can do, why it's important if you want to make a principal stand. And you want, if you are upset about the war in Gaza or other issues, and you want to make a comment, you want to take an action during the election to take a stand. Well, in order to do that, as Paul reminded us, for the election on May 21st, you have to register as a Democrat or as a Republican. Paul was talking about the Democrats and registering as a Democrat and using that time to make a protest vote against the incumbent by voting in uncommitted. But in order to do that, you have to register as a Democrat. Now, it's okay. You just go in and you just check off and you're a Democrat. And the next day, if you want to purify yourself, you can re-register as a Republican or whatever, or independent. But in order to make a meaningful vote during the election in May, you have to register as a Democrat or a Republican. We can talk about changing the system later, but between now and next month, if you want to speak loudly and clearly, register as a Democrat or a Republican and make your voice heard during the election in May. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil Prescott. We've been talking about a number of issues. We just mentioned the first and only president to be indicted. He's on trial today in Manhattan. They're trying to sit a jury at this point in time. I wonder what that's like to be called. Our number is here, 503-231-8187. We want to talk about taxes. You want to talk about 420. You want to talk about the former president. Or you want to talk about election or something else. Let us know. Let's hear what Edie has to share with us at this time. Good morning, Edie, and thank you for calling.
Thank you. I love your thoughtfulness and your integrity. When it comes to paying taxes, people might check out the Tax Resistors League for those who don't want to pay for genocide, war, climate destruction, etc. And today, from 8 to 10 at the Hillsboro Intel, there are people who are trying to block in solidarity worldwide, shutting down or having a global strike against those who are contributing to the genocide in Palestine. It's No Chips for Genocide at Intel right now. And then at 3:00 today, again, about best use of our tax dollars and our resources, there will be a protest at 911 Northeast 11th in the courtyard of Representative Earl Blumenauer and Senator Ron Wyden to say, no, don't have a war against Iran, and educating folks about how Israel being used as a weapons depot or airport for U.S. military intervention in the area has resulted in impunity of 76 years of international laws being broken by Israel, and 40-plus years of Israel trying to provoke the United States into a war against Iran, and how that would be devastating around the world.
Right. So could you repeat? I'm sorry. Finish.
So people can be going to Veterans for Peace and look what they have to say. They could show up at 3:00 today in the courtyard, which is Kitty Corner, southwest from the Lloyd Center MAC station in Holiday Park. And they can send lots of phone calls and email, especially phone calls, to Senator Merkley on Southwest Salmon, and Senator Wyden and Senator Blumenauer and your other representatives as a global strike against genocide, and let them know what you think, what you want for your values. We are spending over $12 million a day above the table, who knows what secret stuff, to Israel for genocide, and that endangers the lives of Jews and Americans, as well as, of course, the people who are being targeted, Palestinians and Muslims. And that is causing increased global climate change because of the waste of all the burning of all the fossil fuels and the destruction of buildings and destruction of the ecosystems, the water, the land, the plants.
Yes.
And so it's all the money we're spending to terrorize and kill people there is money that we're spending to cause worse drought and wildfires and crop failure and diseases here in Oregon, and more poverty, so we don't have enough money for public housing, for Medicare, et cetera, because of a wasting of money elsewhere. So we can make a statement today on Tax Day and on International Global Strike for Palestine by letting people know how we want to spend our dollars instead.
Thank you so much, Edie, for sharing that information. Could you just repeat where people can go to Intel, and is that this morning?
Yes, this morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is the scheduled planned protest at the Hillsborough Intel, all the different entrances to the Intel.
Great.
And then at 3:00 at the 911 Northeast 11th.
And thank you so much for that information and reminding us there are things we can do. And thank you for showing us, reminding us how we can make Tax Day a day of protest. Thank you so much, Edie. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and I would like to talk to Joe, if Joe is still there.
I'm still here.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm totally amazed that the Democrats aren't standing on the rooftop with bullhorns yelling to the top of their voice, if Trump gets in, it's done. You're over with. Finished. And I hear like 20% Hispanics might be voting for him. I mean, what part of we're going to, send all the brown people back to South America didn't they hear? Or what part didn't they hear about him saying that he's going to be a dictator day one? Or if he doesn't get in, it's going to be a bloodbath. I mean, is anybody listening?
Well, let me ask you, because it seems to me that I don't know whether people are listening, but maybe they're listening and they're liking what they hear, because I don't understand why in the polls I see that, you know, 45% of people are firmly in Trump's camp. And what do we do about that?
Well, I a lot of that comes from the church. They evangelize some of the churches to the point where they say he's a prophet. He's going to save America. They preach that night and day in those fear and shame based churches. I mean, it's all the time.
Yeah. That's true in a lot of cases. But you know, oftentimes those people aren't even in churches, right? Yeah, but yeah, a lot of that is you see in those religious gatherings where, as you say, that he's seen as some sort of Messiah or something.
Yeah, and the worse he is, the more they like it.
Yeah,
it's just so surreal. It's like some kind of, I don't know what's happening out there, but it's something evil is masticizing before our eyes.
Well, is there anything you can say that encourages you or that you would like to tell other people to do to educate people, to create a different world?
Yeah, I have relatives that are evangelical, and you cannot get through to them. They just smile at you like, oh, we have the answer, and you don't, and you're going to go to hell, and we aren't. I mean, they're just, it's ironclad. You cannot get through to it at all.
Well, let me play devil advocate. Yeah, devil's advocate.
He's got enough advocates.
but in terms of getting through to, because it seems as if people are in two different camps and that they're unable to speak to one another. So, you know, going back 60 years ago, we had like three news network, and you had Walter Cronkite, and the TV went off at midnight. But there's so many different sources of information. I don't even know that we can even find a common language. So,
we don't have McNeil Lerner anymore.
No.
We don't have, you know, all the good reporters. They don't even belong to. They're writing books instead of being on TV, or, you know, that's the only way they can get through.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should encourage people to read books, but that's another conversation. But.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me is education. We have to educate people really fast.
Yes.
And build more universities and trade schools and a whole lot less churches.
Well, okay. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts and your comments.
All right.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Today is Monday, the 15th of April. I'm Cecil Prescott, and you are you. But first, before I hear what you have to say, let's hear what Tawasi has to say. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Go
ahead.
I'm doing really well. It's nice to see a little bit of moisture in the air this morning. But, you know, I wanted to talk about elections because it seems that it's an important topic, and I appreciate you bringing it up. I wanted to talk about local elections.
Mm-hmm.
There's a prominent former mayor running for city council, and he just has this atrocious record. I don't even understand how a person of his
Are you talking about Sam Adams?
I don't even have to say his name.
No, but he's not running for city council. He's running for county commissioner. That's why I.
Oh, that's right, county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
The point that I'm making is, they really shouldn't allow people who have such horrible records represent the people anymore. Because, you know, just take, for instance, if another former politician had, say, for instance, wrecked their car, they would be arrested if they wrecked their car into somebody. But Sam Adams was able to wreck his car into someone without being arrested. You know, so, like, that's just, like, the tip of the iceberg, because what apparently happened between him and a minor seems like enough to put a person in jail. And then, you know, if you go even further and look at the toxic environment that he fostered inside the mayor's office as recently as this year,
yeah,
it just boggles my mind that a person like that could have access to the levers of power. I don't understand.
Well, so a response, you know, anyone who's can run for anything, and I think it's dependent upon us to say, hey, why are we choosing this person again? I mean, you can look at local elections, you can look at national elections. It comes down to choices we make. So,
the problem that I have with that is mm-hmm. is the level of disenfranchisement of the majority of people. So it's not actually us who are making the choice. It's right. A very small, select group of people.
Yes, expand on that some more, please. Yes.
Well, obviously, owning property and being a person who is a taxpayer entitles you to some sort of a say in our society. Mm-hmm. So the obvious opposite of that is that people who don't own property and aren't able to pay taxes in some way are disenfranchised of their voice. An example of that would be stacking the city council speakers in a way that the vastly wealthy were able to come to the microphone ahead of the people who were poverty-stricken.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in Portland City Council. I think it was Dan Ryan that did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you look at quote-unquote democracy, it's supposed to be one person, one vote, proportional representation and such, but that's not the reality of the situation. I mean, mm-hmm. nothing could have been a more extreme example of that than indigenous people who cannot get recognition of their address from the post office being completely disenfranchised of their vote, not even being able to register to vote because they don't have a recognized address. And, you know, we somewhat overcame that in Oregon. Hopefully, you know, the rest of the country doesn't deal with that. But obviously, if you're a homeless person, it might be difficult for you to vote. It might, if you're just trying to, like, not get arrested while you're asleep, finding the time to go to the county clerk and register and get an address and all that stuff might be beyond your basic abilities. Need help.
Right. I think you raised some very powerful points in terms of when we talk about democracy, what do we mean by it? And who's included and who has an opportunity to participate and have their voices heard. The example you gave of testifying at city council was very powerful, and it is repeated over and over again. Who has access and who has the power of their voice, their influence? So, I think our system of government needs a lot of help. It's not healthy at all.
Well, just one last thing before I go, mm-hmm. which is that we really, really, really need to figure out how to address the life and death situation inside of our jails,
mm-hmm.
because the police here are openly hate-filled towards people who are not white enough, who are not cisgendered enough, who are not straight enough. And, you know, even police have quit the force in ranks because of the discrimination they face. And it's the same thing inside of the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't elect our way out of a racist police. We can't elect our way out of a racist fire department. Even when Joanne Hardesty was the head of the fire department, they were still fostering a toxic work environment, drawing lawsuits because of open racism.
Mm-hmm.
And,
systemic.
And as commissioner of public safety, Gonzalez, he really is showing his colors by not addressing that racism inside of the public safety bureaus.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks for everything you do, Abe.
Hey, thank you so much for calling. And I'm Cecil, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
I love it.
Okay. Thank you for your call and for your insights this morning. Yeah, there's so much we have to do. And thank you for the appreciation of the discussion about democracy. You're listening to More Talk Radio. We have a few minutes left. So let's hear what Carl has to say. Good morning, Carl. Are you there?
Hi, Cecil. Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
So thanks for being there. And I guess my comment is that I think the bottom line for all of us is we just need to learn how to be more humane. I don't think, you know, by like the one guy said, we need more trade schools and less churches. And I would say that that's not going to help, because we need people to learn how to be humane, because people are so inconsiderate of others.
Yes.
And that's throughout our society. And it's, that's, to me, that's the challenge of our society. And
right.
It's, you know, it's just, it's sick.
It is.
Really.
It is.
And it's really, it's sick. So, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. And I think, to me, the only answer is we need to learn how to love our neighbor. And if we can't do that, we're going to continue to be miserable. So, anyway, that's my thought.
Hey, thank you.
That's my 2 cents.
Hey, your 2 cents are worth a lot. It's worth a lot. Yeah, we need to love. Thank you so much for calling. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on Radio KBOO FM. And let's go to Seema.
Good morning. Hi, yes, we came. Hello, Cecil. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good, thanks. Good. A long-time listener. Appreciate what you guys do over there. One of the questions I kind of had, I wanted to pose to the community was, also just kind of listening to the last caller, you know, understanding that, yes, you need to love more, but also just kind of understand that with the frustration and people being angry and upset, I think it's because over time there's more access to knowledge, and also to be able to break the decorum that kept people oppressed. I mean, back in the day, where people are trying to make America great again, and in those days that we're talking about, you know, it was decorum not to talk about what oppression was, especially in the communities that withheld that privilege to oppress others. And we are pretty much living in times that have changed, but I think it's because people are more empowered to talk about what they weren't supposed to talk about, which is how to break those shackles. But moving on into, like, right now and where we currently are, I think that aspect of movement building, which is still unpopular to a certain extent, lends itself to being able to think more radically and trying to empower more folks with privilege to think that way, too. And, for instance, like Oregon right now, I think there's a campaign to vote uncommitted in the primaries, to not send delegates to Biden in the upcoming election. And these are small things that we can actually think about and do. Because, I mean, we're finding ourselves, you know, many, many people in the communities of which I served, which are immigrant, refugee, black and brown communities, you know, we find ourselves looking at Biden and Trump, especially what's happening in Gaza and Palestine, as like a razor's edge. Like, you know, one completely empowered the way of thinking to be able to allow, you know, the capital in Israel to be moved to what would be what would have been considered neutral territory in Jerusalem,
right.
And then the escalation is further by this administration advancing billions of dollars more towards that same nation that really has weapons to primarily use against Gaza and genocidal oppression. And so, you know, a lot of us find ourselves at razor's edge and trying to say, oh, don't vote, period. But, you know, we're sitting in desperate moments where we need to have a gesture.
Yes.
To the Democratic Party, if they are going to be the ones who represent all of us as a nation, to stop capitulating to those that oppress a lot of our brothers and sisters abroad.
Right.
And so there are small things that we can do to try and take advantage and take hold of this scenario, because I'm afraid that, you know, if we can't use these gestures and people don't vote uncommitted in the primaries, don't send these messages to the Democrats, that they'll just continue, playing with our votes.
So you think doing these small gestures are important? It's not a waste of time?
I mean, you know, anything could be considered a waste of time if it doesn't work, but mm-hmm. why not try it at the beginning? Because we're running out of options.
Yes.
But you want people to vote if they feel like they have an opportunity to engage in something that can benefit them, especially those that are sitting on the edge like us.
Yes. Well, thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your reflection, and thank you for explaining why action is more important than inaction. You're listening to More Talk Radio here.
Do you want
him back? Oh, yeah. Is he still there? Are they? Hello? No. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying to keep up with my engineer here. He is so much quicker than I am. I'm Cecil Prescott. I'm here with you on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We've been talking about local elections. We've been talking about tax day today. Tax day. Are you paying your taxes? Are you a tax resistors? Edie reminded us, if you're concerned about taxes, consider seeing what war tax resistors have to say about that. Our last caller also reminded us how important it is to make simple, meaningful acts, which while it doesn't upset the whole world, just pushes the needle a little bit. So maybe you will register as a Democrat by April 30th so you can vote in the primary on May 21st and make a symbolic but meaningful action in terms of voting for president. And we would remind you that not only voting for president, but there are other elections. Other callers reminded us of local elections that candidates who are running for its county commissioners look at those and say, should I vote for that person or should I not? Why should I think it's important to vote? And as we are heading towards that, also be reminded of things we can do wherever we are. Gestures of kindness, of mercy, and as one caller reminded us, and I am not ashamed to say it, we need to practice more empathy and more love. And even in spite of what we hear all around us, I think it is possible for us to help create the type of world we want to live in. There's so much that is happening and so much that can be discouraging. But I am encouraged by what I heard this morning by you, the ordinary citizens who know our listeners, who care for their community and wish to build a better community for all of us. That's the task we all have to do, that we all have to work on. So continue to be a listener, continue to be a member of your community radio station, of organizations which work to build and strengthen your community. I encourage you to join KBOO. Go to our website and click on where you can join and become a member. That's one small step you can make. Stay tuned to KBOO. Thank you for listening. I'm Cecil Prescott. Take care of yourself and all those around you.
Tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is hosting a two-hour live panel discussion this upcoming Earth Day, April 22nd, airing from 2 to 4.